As has become our normal in the present circumstances, I will announce the hymn and the organ will play while you meditate on the hymn. Let's open with hymn 675. Come boldly to a throne of grace, ye wretched sinners come, and lay your load at Jesus' feet and plead what he has done. Hymn 675. Let us now read three short psalms, Psalm 62, 63 and 64. Psalm 62. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defence. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, as on a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defence. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie, to be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. For they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him. And all the upright in heart shall glory. May the Lord bless his word and help Dave in prayer.
O Lord, wilt thou send help from above? We need thee to come and to touch our hearts and to grant the breath of living prayer. O Lord, thou knowest how that even when we're in private prayer, a task and burden proves, how much more when we are called upon to pray publicly. Oh, may our prayer be unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. O Lord, send thy Spirit from above, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. O Lord, we thank thee for the house of prayer and the privilege of meeting here. We have learned what a privilege it is when it has been with holden fonts. And now we pray that thou wilt descend into our midst, that thou wilt touch hearts, that thou wilt cause thy word to prosper in our midst, and many may be given life divine by the dear Holy Spirit of truth, that they may call upon thee in truth and receive answers of peace from heaven. O Lord, thou knowest the desires of every heart. Thou knowest how that so often we do not know how to speak to a holy, heart-searching God. As we have sung, our sin and guilt has stopped our mouth. We sigh, but dare not talk. And so often it is, oh, that I knew where I might find him. This him whom our souls would love, whom we would know as our Saviour, the one who has redeemed us from the hand of all evil, the one who gave his life a ransom for men. But Lord, are we among that number? This is the great question. Am I his or am I not? Eternity is close before us. Oh, wilt thou make us ready? Oh, wilt thou condescend to visit our souls and speak peace through the pardoning blood and the righteousness of Jesus? May we know that we are bound up in that everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and surely, and that our souls cannot be lost at the last. We mourn, Lord, our faults, our slips, our offences against thy holy law. And Lord, if we are to face thee without a mediator, without one who can plead his own merits, we know we must forever die. O Lord, mercy is our plea. Remember our souls, pardon our sins, draw near. May we know the love of Christ, that he gave his life for us. So we beseech thee, may each one here, in all their different circumstances, be found crying unto thee, that thou wilt not leave them nor forsake them, that they may find thee a refuge in the time of trouble. We have read, trust in him at all times. Lord, we need thee to draw us, that we may put our trust in thee. We need thee to come and bless our souls, that we may know that thou hast, that we have passed from death unto life, that thou hast loved us from all eternity, that thou wilt not leave us to perish in that last great and awful day when we must stand at thy judgment seat. O Lord, do remember then each one here. Do enable each one to call upon thee in the day of trouble and prove thy precious word. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. And Lord, if thou dost we will glorify thy name to an endless eternity. So we pray for these great blessings, that our souls may not be left out when thou dost come for thy people. We do earnestly pray that thy word this day may be very precious to us, that thou wilt help us. We do not have thy servant, he could not come. But oh, we do pray that the sermon's bread may find a place in many hearts, that there may be something spoken which shall abide, that it may be for the comfort of sin-sick souls, that it may be a word of direction to those who are saying, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee, O Lord. And we pray that we may not be left to an outward form with nothing done in our souls by the Holy Ghost. We commend to thee those who are not here. Remember them where they are. Visit them, Lord, for thou art not bound to means or place. We pray that their souls may be comforted, that they may be enabled to look unto thee, that thou wilt send down that blessing into their souls which they desire. O Lord, and do watch over each one, and bring them back into the house of prayer at the appointed time. We would pray now, help our brother in reading the sermon which he has brought to us. Oh, may he be blessed in reading it. May we be blessed in hearing it. And may thy name be glorified. We especially commend to thee those who are sick and in trouble. We think of thy servants, Lord, many are labouring now under infirmities. We pray that thou wilt uphold them by thy Spirit. And Lord, among our churches, oh, may there be a reviving. May the Holy Ghost so work that souls may be gathered in. And we pray for those outside this house of prayer in the surrounding area, that it might please thee so to work that they shall feel we must go with them. As Moses said to Homer, come thou with us, and we will do thee good. So we pray, Lord, work, and may thy name be glorified. We would pray for our nation. Lord, what can we say except we are a fallen nation? The long gone, the time when the Bible was at the centre of our national life. And Lord, our privileges that we enjoyed then, and the rule of law according to thy holy word. And now, O Lord, we mourn before thee and confess that sin runs down our streets, and our governors, Lord, they do not respect thy holy word. Our laws are contrary to thine. O, may it please thee to arise, thou who hast the hearts of all men in thy hand. Lord, it might be thy good pleasure to bless and to grant grace, and that there may be true worshippers found among our leaders. But if it be not so, cause them to act righteous acts according to thy holy word, even if they do not know that it is thy power which is causing them to do so. Oh, we do earnestly pray for our royal family in all the awful things there, and especially our Queen. Lord, grant her grace and cause her to speak of thy work and thy way. So we fall before thee in confession of all that is here, and especially that thy spirit is much withdrawn from us. We feel it personally. We can only pray with the hymn writer, return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made me mourn and drove thee from my breast. Arise for our help, leave us not, nor forsake us. Thou art our only hope, the God of our salvation. We pray thy blessing now, the forgiveness of every sin, and a thankful heart for all thy many mercies toward each one of us. We do remember our dear friends who are waiting to marry and whose wedding had to be postponed. We ask that in all their distress they will draw near and comfort their hearts. And we pray for our dear young friend who's expecting shortly, that they will bring her safely through and grant a living child, a vessel of mercy ordained unto God. And so we would pray for all our dear young people. Lord, arise, bless their souls. We do not know how much longer this world will last, but may they each be found among the number of the living, those whom thou hast blessed with eternal life, those to whom thou hast revealed thyself as a saviour and a great one. And so we fall before thee. Lord, pardon the sin of our prayer. And we know not what to speak as we ought, but forgive every wrong thought. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us continue with hymn 739. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. 739. I'll try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Seth Pack. You will find the text in Psalm 63, verse 7. Psalm 63, verse 7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Psalm 63, verse 7. Perhaps you will find your desires expressed here by the psalmist. We will first notice what precedes our text in this psalm. David begins by saying, O God, thou art my God. Perhaps some of you would feel afraid to speak so confidently about the Lord as being yours. We do find sometimes expressions in the Word of God by his people that we fear to use ourselves. And it is especially when the soul is in doubt and in trial that you are afraid to speak thus. But if you go on further, perhaps you will find exactly what you feel, if not in those opening words. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. There is little known of God in this world. Truly, he has a people that do know him, that know something of his preciousness, something of his working. But speaking in general, there are but few comparatively that feel their need of the Lord, that long for him and for his favour and blessing. But there are a few. There has been more or less through the ages of time a remnant according to the election of grace. Now let us notice what the psalmist further desires. To see the power of thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Have not you and I seen something of the power and glory of God in this sanctuary? Has it not been made a sanctuary to us a few times? I have been here a few times, and some of those times I have felt as though the Lord has stood by me and helped me. I hope it may be so today. And you have felt many times, some of you, something of his power and glory. You have seen his power in breaking your heart. Perhaps you have come here with a heart full of care and as hard to your feelings as a nether millstone. Perhaps you were tempted not to come in such a state, but you have ventured. Yes, always endeavour to venture. If you do not come to his house or go to prayer except when you feel in a right frame of mind, you will not go very often. If you do not feel to be in a right frame of mind, your Lord can put you there in a moment. Just a touch of his power will change the scene in a moment. Have you not come up here this morning with these desires? If only in a feeble measure, in your heart to see something more of the Lord's power and glory. If he gives us this power, we can worship him. I like what the apostle says about two kinds of faith. One stands in the wisdom of men. I hope you have not got that kind of faith. That is a worthless faith, as regards the salvation of the soul at least. He speaks of another faith, which is the faith of God's elect, and that stands in the power of God. I meet people sometimes who seem to have the former, as though they can, if they will, have that faith. It is not so with the people of God. God gives them faith to hold on, and brings it into exercise so that you can look to the Lord, pray to him, worship him, and love him. This power is with the Lord, and we have come with desires that he will cause us to know it, to feel his power in our heart. Oh, if the Lord should reveal a little of his glory here today, a little of that wonderful work of his in the redemption of his people. If he should reveal to us a little of his glory in his person, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the God-man, who came down into this world to save his people from their sins. If you see a little of the glory of Christ today, you will have enough to fill your hearts, and that will set your affections upon Christ, draw you to him. Now this must be shown to us, and it is often in the scriptures that the Lord does this. He visits his people privately. We hope some of us can say, we have had some sweet walks with the Lord in private. No one else with us but the Lord. Some sweet moments upon our bed when all other people in the house have been asleep. The Lord visits the dwellings of Jacob, but he dwells in Zion. God has, for his own glory and for the comfort and benefit of his people, in his kind providence, appointed the public means of grace. Prize it, my friends. You will, as the Lord condescends to meet you there and shows you a little of his power and glory. May it be so with us this day. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, the love of God made known to sinners is better than life. You would not think of putting your life beside it. The loving kindness of the Lord to poor sinners is better even than life. There are many things to mar, many things to distress, many things to try, but the loving kindness of the Lord is everything. It is precious. It is sweet. It is better than life. It is an everlasting thing, is the loving kindness of the Lord. If you have ever once known that there is an eternity of rest and peace for you, thus will I bless thee while I live. That will be your feelings when the Lord has manifested to you something of his loving kindness to your soul. You feel you could bless him while you live. Never, if you could help it, would you be employed in any other way than blessing him. But we do not always enjoy the love of God, and sometimes when he tries us, we feel more ready to find fault with him than bless him. Shame upon us that it is so. That divine love or the presence of God, when that abates, we have found it solemnly true, as Mr. Hart sings, I to my own sad place return, my wretched state to feel. I tire and faint and mope and mourn, and am but barren still. It is good for you to know how barren you are. Then the Lord will save you from that abominable pride that we see so much of. As you are favoured of the Lord, then, this will be your desire, to bless him while you live. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. You know something of this, some of you, do you not? Where were your thoughts during the past night? Were there no desires after the Lord? No looking to him and waiting upon him? That is watching. The Lord bless us with a watchful spirit. We now come to our text. Because thou hast been my help, let us notice the helplessness of the sinner. All do not know this. Few comparatively are seeking the Lord's help. They are left of him to go, shall I say, alone. They make their own plans, lay out their own schemes and devices, and God seems to let them alone. It is not so with the Lord's people. From the very beginning of his dealings with the sinner, he is with him. The sinner is taught by degrees, here a little and there a little, and his help must come from God. So we speak according to the scriptures when we say it is not all, it is but comparatively few among the sons of men that are today looking to the Lord as their help, hoping in him, trusting in him, leaning on him. It is not natural at all for the sinner to make the Lord his help, or to look to him as his help. It is only natural to fallen sinners to look to themselves or look to other creatures, to lean on their own strength or upon another creature's strength. I put to you people a solemn question. You that fear God will not be offended at it. To whom do you look for help? Don't you sometimes, from your heart, adopt the language of the psalmist? I will look unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. The man that does that is not in a natural state. He has something in his heart that God has given him and implanted. There was a time with us all when we did not look to the Lord for help. You went on doing this, and that and the other, and you planned as to what you would do in the future. Through grace, you have necessity to tell the Lord about your affairs now, about your bodies, about your souls, about your children or business. Yes, you may tell the Lord about all those things. He can help you in all of them. There is much about these things in the Word of God. You find the patriarchs, you find the prophets, you find the apostles. You will find that all the Lord's dear people are so taught, so exercised and tried, that of necessity they have to look to the Lord for help. And so you are encouraged to make your requests known unto him. He understands you. How favoured are the people of God. They have an almighty friend. They have a friend who understands all their concerns. They have a friend who bears with the feelings of their infirmities, who is thoroughly acquainted with them. He knows their weakness and their fears. Who knows the power of his grace? What a nice word is this to the Lord's people. Ye have an high priest touched with the feelings of your infirmities. For he was tempted in all points, like as ye are, yet without sin. Let me put this question to you. How do you hope or expect to get honourably and safely through this world, upheld, preserved and saved? That a Christian would answer in a moment, by the Lord's help. That is a very short prayer we have of one. Lord, help me. But to keep to our point, all then are not sensible of their need of this help, of this almighty friend. In a natural state, men of the world trust in their own wisdom. They expect to accomplish their own purposes. But the Lord, when he deals with his dear people, he breaks them down. He spoils their wisdom. The psalmist in one place speaks like this: "He weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days." The first thing that it is necessary for one to know is their weakness. We shall never really and truly come to the Lord and seek his help and seek him to be our friend if we think we can do something for ourselves. You know, there are many who claim they have power to come to the Lord when they will. In the beginning, they believe, or professedly believe, that they can give their hearts to the Lord, and they can worship him and serve him. And they go on like this and think that their salvation will be gained by their own doings, and know nothing of the weakness and fears and helplessness and the needs of the people of God. The psalmist here speaks of the Lord as having been his help. I want the Lord helping me to be the means in his hands of leading some of you to remember some of the helps you have received from the Lord. The people of God are exhorted to remember the way the Lord has led them. Here, the psalmist is looking back. The Lord has been my help. David was a man who passed through many things. So do most of the Lord's people. There is a solemn scripture: "They that have no changes, fear not God." Are there changes with us? The changes of the Lord's people do not prove a level and easy path. Sometimes the Lord's people are down in trial and in the vale of affliction and sorrow. Sometimes the Lord's people walk in darkness and have no light. And sometimes they get helps by the way, and the Lord meets their case. We read of one being helped with a little help, and you who fear the Lord will be very glad if he gives you a little help today in looking back over your path and the Lord's dealings with you. Have we some true evidence? Will our conscience bear testimony to the truth of what we say, that the Lord has been our help? You agree that he was the psalmist's helper. He took him as a boy, keeping his father's sheep, and blessed him. He delivered him from his enemies and raised him up to reign over his people, blessed him with his presence on a dying bed, and took him to glory. He was the psalmist's helper, but is he your helper? That is the question, and a question that you cannot always answer as you would. A question that you cannot always solve. Some of you perhaps now would only venture to say, "I hope it is by the Lord's help that I am what I am, and that I am brought safely thus far." Let us notice some things where the Lord's help has been seen, and see if we can lay our hand upon this. There was a time with you when the Lord brought you into a concern about the salvation of your soul, a time when the Lord seemed to be frowning upon you, when your sins stood in battle array against you, when the law of God in your conscience demanded what you felt you had no power to give, so that under that law you were condemned, and perhaps you were for a season helpless. What fears some of you had in that condition? Perhaps the enemy tempted you that you would lose your reason and die in the madhouse. Perhaps you were tempted to put an end to your life. Many temptations assail the children of God when the law of God is applied in their hearts. if you and I are not brought in guilty before the Lord here, judged here, condemned here, and then led to mercy through Jesus Christ, and obtain mercy here, we shall be judged and condemned hereafter. Many now seek to hide this truth, but it runs through the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. We have all sinned against him and come short of the glory of God. God is just, and he must be righteous in condemning the sinner. We are under the curse of the law and are condemned by it. For we have all broken it. The apostle in the 8th chapter of Romans says, there is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. This therefore implies that there is condemnation for all those that are out of Christ Jesus. And when the sinner is under the curse of the law, and his God frowning upon him, no Christ pleading for his sake, he fears, he sinks, he cries, and yet no help seems to come. How many times some of you have said, I fear I shall sink not only into the grave, but lower than the grave, into everlasting perdition. Oh, my sins, oh, that I had never been born, or if I had been like a beast with no soul to be lost. Whilst you were thus exercised with condemnation in your conscience, tried at God's bar, for that is where you stood, that same hand that was trying and reproving and condemning you supported you from sinking. He was your help then, and some of you have lived to prove it, and bless God perhaps scores of times, that he kept you from doing what you would have done in those days of soul distress under the law. Cannot you look back this morning, and your heart bears witness, and the truth of God bears witness, and you are conscious that it was only by the Lord's help that you did not run into that which you would have done, because thou hast been my help. This is the first stage in Christian experience. All are not exercised to the same depth, but all are brought under the law to feel its curse. That is, all the people of God. And then, by the Lord's help, the soul is kept seeking and watching and praying. How earnest were your prayers then? Deliver my soul from going down into the pit. Do save me. Do wash my sins away. Fit me and prepare me to meet thy face. Thou hast been my help. The Lord was your help in delivering you, in reaching out his hand towards you, in applying his precious word to your heart as a word of pardon. He was your help in revealing to you the preciousness of Christ, the atonement of Christ, in enabling you to cast yourself wholly upon Christ. Poor sinners are led in this way to cast themselves upon the Lord. One said, we have no power or might against this great company that cometh up against us, but our eyes are up unto thee. What was the result? The Lord wrought a wonderful deliverance. Here is another instance of casting oneself upon the Lord as their helper. The poor prodigal, through his sin, was far off from home and from his father. Here we have a description of the poverty of a sensible sinner. I love to meet with sensible sinners. I like to feel so before God. He was utterly helpless, without food, in rags, and without a shelter. He could not eat what the swine ate. You cannot eat just anything if you are one of God's people. You want that bread that is in the Father's house, the wine that is in the Father's house, the fatted calf and the ring, the love that is to be found there. God's people cannot eat just anything. So he said, I will arise and go to my Father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He helped him to venture. He helped him to wend his way towards his Father's house. The Holy Ghost gave him that power to feel himself a base sinner, gave him all the power to move towards his Father and towards his home. And the same Holy Ghost applied all the blessings to him when he got there. The Father ran and met him and fell on his neck and kissed him. He took him into the house and provided everything that was necessary for him. Did the Lord not help you to fall upon him? And did he not help you when you fell upon him? One poor woman said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. And she pressed through the crowd and touched Christ and received virtue from him. Have you not done so? Have you not been favoured to press through the crowd, the fears, the temptations, the condemnation you felt in your distress, the weakness you felt in your heart? And you thought that if you were but permitted to touch the Lord, or if he would only speak one word to you, that would help you. God can, and he did. Can you not say, because thou hast been my help, and held me by the hand, lifted me up, helped me to still press on, still to watch, still to hope, and still to love thy people, and to love the word of God, and to wait on him at a throne of grace. It is by the Lord's help, if you know these things, not by might, nor by power, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. May the Lord help us and grant his blessing on what has been said. Amen.
After the service, will you please leave as usual the left-hand aisle through the front door and the right-hand aisle through the back door in succession, maintaining distance. God willing, there'll be another reading service this evening at 6:30, and Sunday school this afternoon will be on Zoom. Tomorrow evening there'll be a prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. And on Wednesday evening, Mr. Timothy Rosier is expected to preach for us. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Jonathan Buss at 10:30 and 6:30. And after the hymn, Andrew, would you be able to take the benediction, please? Our closing hymn is 289. Thus far my God has led me on, and made his truth and mercy known. My hopes and fears alternate rise, and comforts mingle with my sighs. 289.
thank you now for thy help through another service. Lord, you help us to thank thee for thy word that we've read, the hymns that we've read together, and the sermon, Lord, that we've listened to. But, oh Lord, we do pray that there may be something from these things that may be applied and blessed to our souls by that almighty power of God that we have read and heard of this morning. Oh, we do pray then, Lord, that thou would truly bless the service here this morning to each of our souls. Lord, may there be something that we can each take home, that we can remember. Lord, that will do our souls good. It will truly draw us in our thoughts and affections through the rest of the day to thee. Lord, you abundantly bless us each when we pray. Lord, we do pray thou watch over and keep us through the remainder of the day. Do bless the Sunday school this afternoon. Help those, Lord, that teach. And do bless each of the children, Lord, we pray. Lord, may they be helped to understand thy word. May it be blessed to them. And Lord, may they be helped to remember it. That, Lord, it may be truly made a blessing to them, now and in the future. You meet with us, Lord, later as we gather here again this evening. We pray again for thy presence, Lord, the presence of the Holy Spirit, to truly work mightily in our hearts, to lead us each to a precious Christ, that we may each be truly prepared for eternity. Lord, do forgive anything that has been wrong in our worship this morning. Forgive everything that has been wrong in our hearts. We ask for Jesus' sake. And now may the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.